You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome a wonderful friend and returning guest, Lou Bonion, back to the show. Lou grew up in Mozambique, where as a child she became aware of her gift of healing. She spent a good part of her childhood trying to help volunteers of the local Red Cross camp, who often had to cope with hundreds of sick rural people. Fluent in four major languages, she has occupied a number of important posts in the corporate world before deciding to dedicate herself to her gifts of healing and writing and spreading love around the world. Author of five books on spiritual teachings, she also produces and presents The Inner Voice, an inspirational radio program, which is broadcast on Channel Africa via shortwave, satellite, and internet radio. You can listen at www.channelafrica.org, and you can find her website and writings at www.loubonion.com, and we'll repeat that at the end of the show. So let's welcome Lou back to the show now. Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm fine, Lance. Thank you. And thank you again for this lovely invitation.
Oh, it's so nice to have you back. You know, I've been reading your five books, and just they all resonate so much, and they're so inspirational.
Thank you.
It's been, I think we did our last show in January of 2010, so it's been a little while. And
yes, it has.
I thought maybe I'd ask you where spirit's been taking you since then.
Oh God, this is you know, it is here in something that has felt like 10 years. It has been incredible. Time is just, I don't know, perhaps stretching, perhaps on occasions compressing. But it has been the most amazing ride. Since then, I've been to France, to Canada, to India, to, oh God, I don't know, I have traveled so much. And it has been wonderful experiences, wonderful learning, wonderful people. I don't know, I couldn't compress all that for you now,
right.
but it's been a wonderful time.
Wonderful. Well, yes, I do understand. And one of the things I noticed, you mentioned it just now, that since we spoke last, there's an acceleration of energies, or, as you said, a stretching out of time. Some say that there's the incoming energies are higher frequencies, and that time is moving into the no time zone, which has to do with the Mayan calendar and all the various prophecies. How do you feel about that?
Yes, it is, and you can feel it in every single way, in the break of rhythms that we used to take for granted, like sleeping throughout the whole night. I don't know in your hemisphere, but in the southern hemisphere where I live here, all of us, we speak about waking up spontaneously between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. In fact, on some nights, the intensity of the energy that must be bombarded to us throughout the cosmos is so intense that all of us, you know, because I have such a big group of people with whom I relate, We share all those experiences, and I'm not alone in it, you know, feeling the heat, feeling the intensity of the Earth's movement. Of course, here you could also argue that because we are surrounded by gold mines, that maybe some of the movement is technical in the sense that they use implosive and explosive material, you know, to get to the gold. But still, we have this movement almost permanently, and we hear this rumbling. You know, it is very, very exciting. And we feel it in not just in physical ways. This is now describing it physically, but we feel it especially so at the level of our emotional body and also, of course, of our ethereal body. Mm-hmm. And like I am sure all of you also listening to us on the Northern Hemisphere, we feel and we can observe how it affects some people in very strange ways, you know. I have perhaps watched a lot of people go off the rails all completely altogether.
I believe that. I think we're seeing that all over the globe right now.
Yes, and I see it perhaps even more because I've got a huge client list. So they're all these days where they all call, they're all SMS, they're all
you get
they're
them
all
coming
mail.
Through your front door. Well, one of the things that we both, you especially, are aware of is that the Earth or Gaia or whatever you want to say, Sophia, is a living being with many different elements and elementals and spirits, which are interconnected, and we're all interconnected in this fabric. And it seems that there's been a lot of concern about the degradation to the planet. Do you see the planet as reacting or creating a new scenario given the abuse that we seem to be heaping on her?
Yes, definitely. I think our planet, I like to call her our mother, you know, because she really sustains all of us and all other life forms, and we are dependent on her for life, for dear life. So in a sense, she is our mother, and all the elements of the earth seem to be felt at the moment in very powerful ways, you know. Of course, we don't need to be shown and shown again and again what is happening, but there are so many signs of her awakening and also of whatever it is that she needs to do to cleanse herself of so much of the dirt and the pollution and the abuse that we have imposed upon the beloved mother. So we must see also, you know, all these storms and hurricanes and tornadoes by the Andes, like what you've seen in your part of the world, as manifestations of energy forms. The French have got a word, they use egregore, you know. Mm. Those forms create energies that are explosive, they are volcanic, they are quaking energies. So all this is happening to the planet in ways that are palpable, are visible, measurable. We can see those activities increasing exponentially. But parallel to our influence, there is also, as you know, Lance, the end of cycles coming into the equation. So we are reaching an end of the smaller cycle of 2,100 years, you know, the age cycle. Then we are witnessing the end of the, you know, the precessional year. And perhaps other cosmic cycles of which we hardly can even measure the time, you know. So all this is coming together at this time. And all this is having an awakening effect on every single living atom of life here. And so that will apply to the earth, and it will apply to us, and it will apply to animals, and it will apply to plants, and even to minerals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is escaping it.
Good. It seems that there's I know I'm saying this in a simple way, but a re-spiritualization of matter.
Absolutely.
Kind of a lifting, a refreshing, shall we say, or, you know, it goes beyond refreshing, but maybe a restoration of the connection of matter to higher energies or divine energies.
Yes, I think we are seeing also the conversion back to light of matter, because matter is only compressed light, really, or densified light. So, and we are seeing the process in reverse. That is, I think, perhaps the easiest way to explain it, you know.
Yes, that's right. And what happens to the darker elements that are currently seem to be creating havoc? Go ahead.
I don't know what happens to it, but the fact remains that that part has been part of the script for our evolution as well.
Right.
You know, we live, after all, in a dimension of polarity and duality. And so we have, up to this point, perceived light as opposed to darkness, or good as opposed to bad, or kindness as opposed to nastiness, or whatever.
Right.
So we have lived in that sort of polarity and in that sort of duality. And sadly, a lot of us are still trapped in that almost two-dimensional perception of all of our reality. But as it evolves, and as we evolve, we actually will realize that all that was just borders and confines that we created in order to learn, in order to evolve, in order to progress. And that is basically how I see it and how I understand it, you know.
Right. It's basically the soul's journey into the various cycles or wheels of time, and then we cycle off, it seems.
Exactly. We go down into density, you know, like going down into the dark well, and then at some point we say, oof, I have to come up for air and take a breath, you know.
Yeah, really.
I think we are at this point, yeah.
I think we all took a big wrong turn somewhere, but anyway, I'm just kidding. the other thing that seems to be happening lately is that people are noticing or reconnecting to their multidimensional nature. And I know you talk about this a lot in your books and about how we travel in dream time, and you've had so many experiences. Would you like to share a little bit about that element?
Yes, I would, and I'm going to share one that I had just yesterday or the day before, you know, and it was so extraordinary because I found myself, you know, like you do in dreams in the strangest of places, and I was in some sort of car or bus or some earthly means of transportation somewhere along the border of Russia and China, somewhere close to Tibet, you know?
Uh-huh.
And as we drive, I hear this people speaking Russian, and I actually am thinking, what did I come here for, you know? Why would I be in a place and I just don't know anybody? And I'm thinking. And the next thing, we have what seemed like a sort of a crossing over portal, and I wouldn't be able to describe to you how we ended up on the other side of the mountain or within the mountain. It seemed simultaneously that we had crossed the mountain and gone inside the mountain, if it makes any sense.
Yeah.
And what I see was so extraordinary, because I ended up in a plane. And this plane looked like being inside a geode of a gigantic, gigantic crystal. And it was the most extraordinary experience, because, you know, I love crystals so much. So here I am trying to touch everything and feel everything and identify everything. And then I kept thinking, but I don't know any of those crystals, you know? They were not amethyst. They were not quartz. They were not anything that I know, you know?
Oh.
And that's how I woke up. So I was like a little bit shortcutted into my experience, but enough to remember the beauty of having gone through this portal and actually not having a physical body and yet being able to perceive everything without my physical body and touching everything without a physical body. I thought that was quite special.
Wow.
And of course, I have lots of those experiences, even sometimes when I am healing, you know, and perhaps even more so when I'm healing, because I move in between dimensions all the time. And things happen, you know, when I come back, I always like to know if the patient that most of the time, in fact, 100% of the time is asleep deeply, if they can remember something.
Yes.
And on occasion, I'm gifted with a memory where the patient said, I had this dream and I was in this place, you know. And I keep thinking, how wonderful, I was awake and I saw this place as well, you know.
Wow, it's amazing. So I guess one way of seeing that is that our higher selves are connecting at a greater rate. We're able to communicate more from the level of a higher self or a collective energy, aren't we?
Oh yes, absolutely. In fact, you know, we are so connected that this connection is now becoming what I would say super obvious to most of us, because you think of someone and they will call you, or you know, you will have a perceptible reaction inside your body, your heart, your face. You know, I can't even explain. There is so many things happening where you feel the connection to other souls. And of course, if there is an intense love between those souls, that is even more heightened, you know. And even sometimes when there isn't, you know, you still feel that connection with other souls in incredible ways. I sense it, you know, again, through my patients. Even so, with all of them, I developed some sort of love and affection and compassion. In fact, I develop a lot of it for them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to give them healing.
Right.
And, you know, I always almost know what's happening to them without their having to tell me, you know. So by the time they phone me or call me or email me or SMS me, it's just like confirmation. I live on receiving confirmation permanently.
Wow.
It is quite a blessing, actually, you know. But
absolutely.
I live far enough to experience this transformation. We are becoming, you know, little butterflies, all of us, you know? And we're touching each other in very soft and gentle ways.
Well, you know, it seems as if we're rapidly approaching a time when we're going to go beyond the need for healing, that we've explored the, you know, what medicine has to offer, and clearly that is a direction that is not going to take us in a, it's not going to take us in a positive way much longer, and the healing is really something that occurs at the spirit or at the level of the soul. So it does seem that we're approaching a time when we're reconnecting with that essence, and we might not, you might be out of a job.
Oh, I wouldn't mind, you know, because up the road of evolution, I would find many things to keep me busy. But let me tell you something. It is true that as we reconnect to our higher self and to our, I like to call it our divine presence, of course, all of us will find the healer within, and we will not need people like me who really work a little bit like a switch, you know, like a connector. And basically that's all I am, is a connector. And I always tell the person that comes to me, you know, I look at you as a divine presence in your own right. And my challenge is to make you see yourself as a divine presence and discover the healer within you, and then you don't need me. But by the way, do you realize that most people that I see is only once off? I actually don't need to see people continuously at all. And they only come back for the love and for what they call recharging of their batteries. And
right.
That is part of my healing life from the very beginning, is to awaken the healer within each soul that is entrusted my way. So I don't nurture dependency in any form or way. And the only patients that I follow a little bit closer, of course, are those that are sent to me with absolute terminal cancers, you know, the ones that I help and prepare for the transition. So some will stay with me for a couple of months, some will stay with me for a few weeks, and others will stay with me for a few years, you know. But otherwise, I, from the very beginning, I have understood and I have honored the healer within each person. And I always tell them, in fact, you know, to the terminal patients, I like to say to them, don't worry about your prognosis or diagnosis, because, you know, I could die tomorrow and you still yet to come to my service, you know, because it's true, you know, we don't know.
Right.
I teach everyone, live in the moment, you know.
Right.
If you don't live in that moment, there is no life. There is no life looking back, and there is no life looking forward. There is only life here and now, you know.
Yes, yes. Oh, you're so right about that. There's no question about that one. Now, when you do have patients that are terminal, how do you help them prepare to make the transition? Do you? Some people talk about the life review and get people to review their lives. How do you go about that?
Oh, no, not at all. You know,
nope.
I trust that the soul of this person, just like all souls, is all-knowing and all-wise. So they will know ultimately at that level what to do. So I don't tell anyone what to do. But what I do tell them, though, is little reminders about their own power, about the fact that we are all visitors to this dimension. This is not where we belong. This is where we came for a certain duration of time, to set ourselves in particular circumstances and situations in order to learn, to teach, to share, to love, to, you know, to experience life and to experience
right.
the dimension. Because, you know, let us not kid ourselves, this is a very interesting dimension where we can have perhaps a lot of pain, but, you know, if your focus is into pleasure and into beauty and into enjoying this dimension is paradise, you know. There is no
yeah.
separation between, you know, this is the old way of thinking that you have to die first and then go to paradise, you know. Paradise is right here. We just need to learn to create it. But also I found, you know, for instance, I went to see a patient last Sunday, so it's about a week. He passed on 6 days later, so that's yesterday he passed on. And this gentleman was really, really terminal. And so my friends asked me to go to the house and to help the family. So I went and I said, look, live a moment at a time, a day at a time, especially when the time comes where you see that your days are counted. And the patient was absolutely perfectly lucid, even though by then his liver had already imploded and he was green and yellow and retaining liquid and you know, and moving with great difficulty. And then I gave him healing, and I told him, you know, when you have fear, think of the words that really best describe your state. You are love. You are peace. Think about it. Even if your mind will fight such concepts, just think those words then. Just say to yourself gently, love. Peace, love, peace. Repeat it, you know. And as I'm saying this, he fell asleep so nicely, you know. Then I went on, I went on having this dialogue with him telepathically. And, you know, as you know, any good healer will tell you this, that
yeah.
is the best way sometimes to speak to a patient, because you,
yeah.
you bypass the mind and the,
yep.
you know, the argumentative side and all this kind of ego
right.
problem that you may have to face. And then you are speaking soul to soul, And at that level, everything is known, everything is love, everything is peace, everything is harmony. There is absolutely nothing to be proved, nothing to be argued about, nothing to be discussed, and, you know, so it goes well. And during that time, I said to him, his name was Jerry. I said, Jerry, your time is up. And I come to give you permission to go in peace. Uh-huh. You don't need to perpetuate any suffering, to be hanging around, you know, much longer. Make peace with the world. Make peace with your family, with those that have hurt you, with those that you have hurt. And just open your heart to going home, you know.
Right.
And that's it, you know. And then I received the news yesterday that he passed in his sleep very peacefully.
Do you ever sense or feel them passing and have some kind of final communication as they cross over?
Yes, sometimes I am given the what I consider to be the greatest honor by an entire family is when I am called to the hospital on the moment that they're going to go. And sometimes that is possible for me to do, and it is obviously the divine plan as well, because then I am with the patient and the family, and we are all together encouraging him to take the last breath, him or her, you know, without fear.
Yeah.
and in absolute peace. And it's a very powerful experience, you know, to approach that point where the patient's eyes get this sort of curtain. You know, I always find that amazing. And for me, that is the telltale sign, you know, that the time is coming, like a thick sort of substance comes over the eyes, you know. And then the breathing, of course, the breathing is what indicates such a, you know, but the breathing can go on for quite a few hours, you know,
eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yes. And yeah. So then, you know, people accept that much easier. The family grieving is not so big, you know, and it can be a very, very, very powerful experience as well. Because, you know, it's almost like seeing somebody being born, only they being born to the other dimension, you know?
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that many of us have been in so much denial about for so long is about the process of death and about continuing on into another realm. I know when I lost a friend to AIDS 30 years ago, I didn't believe that I just didn't know anything about spirit or beyond or anything like that. And I just thought, you know, when it's over, it's over. And since then, I've realized that that is not the case, that we, you know, that this is just a passage. There is a continuum, and there is no moment when we are not alive.
Absolutely.
And so there's nothing to fear. And I really like what you have to say in your books, and maybe you'd want to elaborate a little bit about how people can deal with their fears, which are being bombarded constantly about the fear of war and the fear of this and the fear of nuclear meltdowns and the fear of, you know, how do people break through that or move through that, their fears, including the fear of death?
I think, you know, that is a personal journey, as you know. Everything is about a personal journey. So I have no fear. If they plant a cell tower inside my back garden, I'll have no fear whatsoever of the tower. You know, if you understand what I'm saying? If my day is today, I know that whatever I do, say, or don't do, or don't say, or as much as I may worry, you know, that's not going to change anything. So I live in that space permanently, you know. But that space is something that you learn through experience, through the realization that who you are is greater than what your senses can inform you about. So, you know, the words of Richard Bach in his famous book, Illusions, come to mind. And he said something like, the mark of your ignorance is the depth of your belief in injustice and in tragedy. And just like the caterpillar calls it the end of the world, a master will call that a butterfly. You know, something along those lines, you know? And that is such a powerful way to remind ourselves that what rules the fear in humanity is really a deep ingrained sense of ignorance about their true reality, their true essence. You know, light, energy cannot be destroyed. You cannot kill energy. You cannot. You may damage and hurt and kill our outer layer of biology, but our spirit lives on, moves on. So, it is something. To me, it's a little bit like, you know, going around in circles. Why would we worry about death when death is nothing but a transition into another state? You know, but again, that is a cultural default where we are taught about these things, you know, and also we do get attached, you know. Last year I lost my best friend, my Hindu best friend, and I felt such grieving, such need for grieving, and I cried for 2 good weeks, you know, because that's how we are. Are you there? Hello?
Let you breathe life into my veins. How can you? Hi, everyone. This is Seth at BBS Radio. We're having a little difficulty with the lines. We'll try to get the show back on track just as soon as possible.
Why won't you come back to me? Don't you know I will be good to thee? Why did you leave from me? You mustn't have seen what I did say. Want to know some more about you, only you. Oh, can't you see what I see? Won't you let it be you and me? Did you leave from me? You mustn't have seen what I did see. Why won't you come back to me? Don't you know I will be good to thee? 'Cause I wanna see if you are for me, and I wanna see about you. Did you leave from me? You mustn't have seen.
Well, so anyway, that was an interesting little break we had from Spirit. Just so that the audience knows, there were some line difficulties, probably something to do with something or other. And when we left off, you were about to quote something by Richard Bach. Do you want to pick up there? Or do you...
Oh, really?
Yes. Or shall we just start all over?
No, I can quote that because your question was so pertinent about the fear, you know, upon which we are so
focused,
fed. Yes. And this is one of my, I actually found it properly, and I will read it to you now properly from my little booklet that I carried with me all the time. And Richard Bach, in his famous book, Illusion, says, "The mark of your ignorance is the depth of your belief in injustice and in tragedy. What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly." That just about defines, you know, the different levels of ignorance on our planet. You know, you still have people whose life is to point out to somebody and shifting the responsibility of their creations onto somebody else and on their life instead of, you know, applying the famous principle where you point to your index, three other fingers point down at you, you know.
Right.
And so we live in that mixed pot where it is always easier to distract oneself with things and people and events outside yourself instead of working with, you know, within. Those that work within have no such worries about anything like that, you know. Really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's a very interesting process, and it just seems to be an ongoing process. And some days I notice I have more success at it than others. I think it was in one of your books that I just read where you said something about staying in the core And wherever you go out there, you are within the you're still within your core. Was that something that you wrote about?
You know, very often I don't actually know what I write because I am a student of my own books, as you know. People always think I'm a nut, and I say it, you know. They really question my mental integrity when I say that I study my own books. But the fact is, I do, and because they are coming from such a hard place that my human self would need to study and to go and dive deep into it. And in fact, that is a truth that if you remain centered in your heart and connected to your core, you never forget in the moments of difficulty that you are love, that you are peace. And when you walk around and when you relate around and when you travel around knowing that, nothing or anyone can take you out of that peace, not very long anyway, you know, yeah. Because you're still human. So some people will die and for a while succeed, but when you have disciplined yourself about going back to core, to the essence of who you are, you know, nothing matters, no one matters. And you really live by, I certainly live by the principle that anything, anyone, any event only has the importance that I choose to give them and no further.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if it starts to upset me, I use my mantra, you have no power. You have no power.
<That's>
and I go back to my center, you know.
Yeah, right, right. You're able to communicate, too, with some of the ascended masters. And on those levels, everything is a matter of love and light, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you cannot go into those dimensional levels without absolute surrender and without an absolute knowing that you too are of the same light as the masters and the gods and the ascended masters and the angels mm-hmm. and the archangels. There is mm-hmm. absolutely no separation between our light and their light. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is purify our minds and our hearts enough in order to be able to reach those higher levels of energy and also to be given their attention because, you know, it works both ways. They have to lower their energy frequencies in order to interact with ours, and we have to raise ours in order to interact with them. So mm-hmm. I'm sure we must meet in some intermediate dimension where we go as far as we can go and they come as low as they can come, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, right. That makes a lot of sense. That really does.
Yes.
We have to kind of clear away the debris so that we can reach up. I guess, suppose we come out of our crown chakra, if you want to get technical, and they come down and lower themselves into a lower dimension to meet us. And sometimes they have to go a little lower than other times.
And, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's kind of what many people are saying, that heaven is descending and we are ascending. So we're meeting, we're making the effort to meet in the middle, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. And that minimal dimensional, we have agreed on number because that's just a number, a classification, a layer, a linear construct again for us to understand. We call it the fifth dimension. But in fact, for all know, it could be the 55,000th dimension, you know. It's really irrelevant, whatever we call it. We like terminology that fits in nicely with our logic, you know.
Right.
But, you know, again, to quote Einstein, logic will take you from A to B, but imagination will take you anywhere, you know. And that ultimately remains the truth, is that if you are able to cleanse your heart and to cleanse your emotions and to cleanse your your mind of anything that is less than pure love, then you become a good candidate to be taken note of by the higher dimensional beings. And they will love to communicate with you, because then, you know, you come across, I suppose, a little bit as more disciplined and more able to generate and propagate this love. And ultimately, for some of us, you know, I say unashamedly, all of my life, all I want is to serve God and His glory and His light. And nothing else matters for me. I don't care what people think. I don't care what they say. I don't care if I'm going to make money or not make money. It is absolutely irrelevant for me, because I have kept my focus in my heart as true as humanly possible to helping to bring the heavenly realms to this dimension. And that's all really that matters. So when you do that, oddly, you know, over time, and I suppose now I'm going to turn 55 soon, you know, I've done maybe a bit of this work, and I've been taken notice of. So I'm quite happy. They're taking notice of me.
I am too. I'm very happy that you're happy. You spread so much love around that... it's just it's astonishing that you know, you're a guiding light for all of us, really.
Thank you.
Now, you know, there was recently Sai Baba passed intentionally on Easter Sunday, and I was really moved by that. I've never followed Sai Baba's teachings directly, but he said some very powerful things, that he has not left that at all, that he is still here with us, and that there's no need to go to India to a guru, that the time for that is to stay in your seats and your chairs and to make that connection for wherever you are. And you had a special relationship with Sai, didn't you, Sai Baba?
Well, you know, I had the most unexpected phenomena happening in my house. I think it's now 14 years. I have a huge Zulu pot with a very big palm plant in it. And this Zulu pot, made of clay, ordinary clay, you know, one day I'm coming out of the healing with another healer that I work with frequently in severe cases, you know. And I'm looking at the pot, and I see this face forming in the pot. And I think, oh, my God, I'm hallucinating, you know. And I say to my friend, can you see what's happening to the pot? Or am I hallucinating? You know, I can't ground myself. My brain doesn't want to come back to my head. And he says to me, no, my dear sister, your brain is right in your head. That is Sai Baba saying hello. And I said to him, and who is Sai Baba? I didn't even know Sai Baba.
Wow.
I mean, I must have seen a picture here and there, but I wasn't even aware of him. So you can imagine that started me on a journey. And my pot became almost a pilgrimage point for some of the Hindu friends, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
And
amazing.
To this day, people come into my lounge and they bow by my pot because the picture is in.
Oh, my goodness.
It's disappearing a little, so I knew you was dying, you know. And that's one of the reasons I also wanted to go to India before it was done, just to be in that space and in that energy, really. Even though I knew what he always said, that you need to spend your money to come and see me, yeah. I am everywhere, and indeed he is, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there is a special energy, isn't there, that you found in India?
Yes, it is. And with Sai Baba especially, what I find most extraordinary is that, you know, everything about him is it's got a smell of jasmine. So when I get very connected through giving healing, and I give presence through this intense smell of jasmine. In fact, before he passed, I knew exactly when he would when he passed, because, you know, India is 4 hours or 4.5 hours ahead of us here in South Africa. And I was watching a movie, and I felt this intense jasmine perfume inundating my lounge. But I was the only one who felt it. Nobody else felt it. So I went and wrote the time that I felt this smell, and then I discovered that was the exact time, India time, that it passed.
Wow. Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you
yes,
know,
it is.
What you're saying, too, about all of those things that you're experiencing from other dimensions and on the spiritual planes is encouraging for all of us to acknowledge those experiences and not just allow the mind to discount them as, oh, that was nothing, or, oh, that was crazy. It's really important that we start to validate ourselves and talk to each other about our experiences, because this is going to be happening more frequently to all of us, I think, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it happens more frequently than what most people realize, only just like what you said so beautifully. They sort of discard it. They don't value it. They don't honor it. They don't, they do not express any gratitude for it. So obviously, if that's the way you respond, you know, spirit responds in kind. You know, the entire universe is a mirror, is a holographic mirror of everything that you feel, say, and project. So everything comes to revisit you in some form, and very often in a very literal form. If you say often enough, oh, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm this, I'm that, the universe only knows two letters of the entire alphabet, and that is O and K. So it will always say, okay, you know, and it will agree with you and move on to something else. And so we must learn to interact with the universe, with the entire energetic sea upon which we feed collectively, with greater consciousness, greater awareness, by being awakened. When you become awakened, speaking to animals, to plants, to crystals, to other people, communicate with them telepathically becomes a child's game, you know. Even sometimes reading other people's thoughts becomes a child's game, because they become almost, they have form. They reach you as forms. Some of them not pleasant, by the way, and some of them outright aggressive. But thought is energy. Words are energy. We are energy living in a sea of energy. Are you there? Hello?
Are you there?
Yes, I am, but I think for a while we lost each other again.
We did. But you know, I was with you in spirit. You were saying something.
Okay.
You were saying something so interesting too. I wanted you to be able to finish that up before the end of the hour. You were saying the universe.
Okay.
Says, I am, you know, when we say I'm ugly and I'm this and I'm not, I'm worthless, we left off there.
Oh, okay. And then I said, you know, the universe only knows two letters exactly, which is okay. So it always uses those two letters, you know, for whatever you send out into the universe. Any fear will come to revisit you. Any affirmation of positive will translate in a positive outcome. And so the universe is replicating your thought patterns all the time. The universe is only what you are creating and what you're seeing, you know, of yourself out there, really.
Yeah, it's like an interactive a playground, really, and I think we're just starting to
become
conscious.
Yes, it's a mirror. The whole universe is a mirror of what goes on inside of us.
Exactly. And if we want the mirror to smile, we have to smile first. We can't be pointing at the mirror
Absolutely.
And saying, why aren't you smiling?
Absolutely.
Well,
if you want love, you have to be the love that you want. And if you want peace, you have to be the peace that you want. And
that's
if you want abundance, you have to be the abundance that you want. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, if you want kindness, be that kindness. If you want people to be generous, give all that you have. If you want to be whatever, you know, that's the way it is.
I agree with you, Lou. Well, we're almost out of time, and I know we got cut short a couple of times, and I'm sorry about that.
No, don't worry. It's the divine plan, which way we look at it.
Exactly. We got the time that we had to spend together. And before we sign off, is there anything you want to share with the audience and also where they can find your websites?
Well, my website is www.louboignon, I'll spell that, louboignon.com. And I try it as much as possible. I have been so busy, you know, I'm preparing for a big conference in Madagascar. And it's taking some of my energy and time at the moment. But otherwise, everyone join me through there or lou@louboignon.com. That's my email. And I'll be happy to respond to whoever wants to interact
Wonderful.
With me.
Wonderful. Well, I really appreciate you spending time with us, Lou. And I want to also thank Jean Houdon from the earthrainbownetwork.com. For introducing
yes,
us.
Yes, our beloved friend. I hope he's listening. I don't know if he is because he has not said a word for a long time.
Well, he's in our thoughts. And
he's in our hearts.
Thank you, Lou.
Absolutely.
And I just want to say that I do love you. And I just can't thank you enough for being with us and sharing your energy.
Thank you, Lance, and I love you too, and I love your friendship, and I wish you well, and I encourage you to continue the beautiful work that you do as well. You became such a powerful voice in the world for us, and also a space to unite all the voices that have got something to share with the rest of the souls having experience here. And I thank you for this invitation. And I look forward for another one with a better line.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Maybe the next one will be on a higher plane. All right.
Thank you,
well, good night,
friend.
Lou.
God bless.
My
and
friend.
All my love offer to all my friends in the United States listening and in other countries, in Brazil, in Argentina, and to my friends, Marcel and Bibi DeVos. They're also very special in my heart.
Wonderful. Well, love to all of those, and good night to you, and good night to everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Yes, good morning. The sun is coming soon.
the birds are speaking.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, my friends.